Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
It's good to be in church. It's good to be friends with a great church for so many years, and I want to just start off by thanking anybody that sponsors Home of Hope Children in this congregation. God bless you. And I would love to have, I only do this to friends, I'd love to invite friends to come with me sometime on a mission trip. Sometime, you know, Jesus did say go into all the world and preach the gospel. Thank you. One of our ladies from our church went to Malawi and Kenya and Rwanda with me last year, and she got so excited. She now volunteers 2 days a week to help us, and she just made up these T-shirts that we just got in stock. This one says, go into all the world, Home of Hope, with a nice little thing on the side, and we got five different kinds of shirts back there. If you're interested in buying a T-shirt, every dollar that's made from that helps children. And like Pastor Doug was saying, we started out by helping about 200 children, and one day I just went into our auditorium in Red Deer and knelt at the front and just said, Lord, what do you want me to do with the next chapter of my life? And God said, just immediately, I just heard 10,000. And I go, I don't want to help 10,000. That's a lot of work. Collecting, you know, here's one sponsor and sending it over and the audits and, you know. But God's helping us, and we helped 5,000 new children last year in seven different ways. Some are monthly sponsorship and some are in different ways. I'll explain that. And as we had a day of prayer starting off this year, I really felt God leading us to help 5,000 children in the second poorest country of the world, which is Congo, which is also the rape capital of the world. You just go through some of those slides if you can. Slide 4 talks about 5,000 children in the Democratic Republic. We help with many different ways. You know, some kids, they just don't even have a health card. They can't get any medicine for $6. They can get free medicine for 12 months. So kids can die of malaria, but malaria is treatable, and they could get pills for that. The next slide talks about a refugee camp, which is one of our focal points. There's 10,000 desperate kids right now in Manova, which is North Congo, in a refugee camp. The government gave them tents and then abandoned them 10 years ago. And the next couple of slides show some of the tents. Our worker, a Home of Hope worker, was just there 2 days ago and just gave us these pictures fresh off his camera. And we have a team going there in March, and I'm going to be going there the end of April. If anybody wants to come to the second poorest country, and can be kind of dangerous, but Jesus said go. So you need a word from God to stay, because he's already told us to go. Mm-hmm. And this, a couple more pictures there of the feeding projects. And we have a little table at the back. We have a card there where you can maybe just put this up on the screen. Different ways if you want to give to impacts in people's lives. To feed a child is just $1 Canadian. It's kind of average. We're in many different countries. $1 for a plate of food, $6 for a health card. You can give animals. You know, there's a lot of mothers that are just so poor. You can give them an animal to help them become self-sustaining. Rabbit, pigs. Right in the middle of the animals, a sponsored child. Oh, they're in the order of finances. Okay, goats and pregnant sows and food carts, many different ways of helping children. You know, when we went to Malawi last year, which is the third poorest country in the world, we gave out about 1,000 pairs of shoes, because these kids have no shoes, never had a pair of shoes in their life. And you just showed the shoe pit. Yeah, look at those diseases they get. I've seen hundreds of kids with no toenails because of the diseases of fungi or whatever that comes in to their feet. And feeding projects, we rescue babies thrown away live in the garbage. And we have a microloan project. Probably one of the best things we do is to help a mother with a $25 microloan. She pays it back, gets a $50 microloan, pays it back, and kind of builds up with her trust. And a microloan is fantastic because five women can form a team. They all can start five different businesses, and they form a little team. If one of the ladies doesn't pay back their microloan, they sign a contract that the other four have to pay it back. So they say, get out of your mud hut and go sell your bananas. I'm not paying your loan this month. And inventor of that won the Nobel Peace Prize 1 year. One more thing, if you can go to slide 17. This Wednesday, I'm heading to India. And India is in a real persecution right now. 15 minutes away from our Home of Hope property, a born-again pastor from another church was hung to death in his church. A couple of months ago, a bunch of officials just raided our compound about 4 or 5 days ago and arrested one of our staff because he didn't have a Hindu name. And they're accusing us falsely of forcibly converting people to Christianity and making them change their name. And one of our staff is in jail right now, and we're praying that he can get out. And this is Pastor Andrew and his wonderful wife, that his grandfather started Home of Hope with Bob Hoover. Some of you that have been around for a while. And now Andrew and I worked together for about 8 years with the Home of Hope India. And I'm going there on Wednesday. Praise the Lord. So please pray for me. Amen. It's kind of quiet out there. How are you doing out there? Praise the Lord. You thank God for Canada, even if it's 41 below with wind chill. When I got up this morning, checked the weather app, and I thought, I better go try my car, see if it will start outside that hotel and not plugged in. But Nissan did it. Hallelujah. I'm trying to be funny. Someone said, Brian, they say you're really funny. My name's so-and-so. They said you're funny. I said, I have to be funny today. Just got a reputation. My pastor of 40 years wrote a book called Experience Jesus and His Church. And Pastor Doug asked me to share along this line today, just off the press. In fact, I brought a few books down. You can buy the book. And there are two things that really can change people's lives. Number one is Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for our sins. When you ask Jesus into your life and you live for Jesus and you do what he calls you to do. John chapter 2, verse 5, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. And they obeyed, and they turned water into wine, working with Jesus. Jesus is the most important thing in your life, really is. And secondly, the church. And I want to talk about that a little bit. And if we can just read an opening scripture, and we're going to pray. Do you guys ever, in Red Deer, they stand to read the scripture? You want to stand this morning and just give honor to the Word of God? And this is a portion of scripture about Jesus and training his disciples. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question. What are people saying about me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe I am? They answered, some are convinced you are John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you, who do you say I am? Jesus asked two questions. Who do you say I am? Jesus asked, Simon Peter spoke up and said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Next slide. Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simeon, son of Jonah. For you did not discover this on your own. This is so good. But the Father which is in heaven has supernaturally revealed Jesus to us. Amen? Isn't that good? I give you the name Peter, a stone, and the truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I build my church. My legislative assembly and the power of death will not be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth what is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Let's pray together. Lord, I just thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, when I was 16 years old, Jesus, you became real to me. You revealed yourself to me, and my life has never been the same. Thank you, Lord, for the local church, Lord, where I've been discipled and trained up. And, Lord, the power of your church that can change people's lives. And, Lord, we just invite your presence here today as we share your word in Jesus' name. Why don't you give your neighbor a nice big smile? Because it's good to smile in church, isn't it? Show them how many teeth you're missing. You can be seated. Give them a pound. You know, I turned in church the other day, and I pounded this girl's hand. She pounded, and it just hurt so bad. She had like three rings. One of them was like an inch square with some. I felt like I got a tattoo from her pound. You know, in Pastor Mel's book, how many of you ever wished you could go to Bible college, but you never got the chance? Anybody? A couple of people? This, you know, part of Pastor Mel's book is just, you know, he has been a minister of God for over 50 years, solid biblical training. And the second section of his books, he talks about five basic beliefs that are the bedrock of what we are as Christians. You know, Jesus said, if we hear these words and do them, we will be like a house that's built on a solid rock. The winds will come, the rain will come, the floods will come. But that house won't be moved because it's on bedrock. And that bedrock is the beliefs of the Bible. Number one, we believe in Jesus. I think the slide brings them all up. I'll just read them all. We believe in Jesus as one of the five bedrocks. We believe in the Bible written by the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gospel. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe in the church. Five real bedrocks. There's the book right there. May I just hold it up for a minute, Pastor Doug, just to, I should have grabbed one. But a wonderful, high-class book. And he goes through the two basic things. Jesus, the greatest thing, and Jesus' body, which is his church. Amen. I was saying last night, page 110 is my favorite part of the whole book. Pastor Mel has got 18 different people that gives testimonies of how Jesus changed their life and what the church has done to change their life. And page 110 is my story. Hallelujah. That's my favorite part of the book. And Pastor Mel also has this audio book where he reads the entire book, and the 18 people, they read their story. So I went into the studio, real high-class studio, where it's got this great big microphone like this and all soundproof and quite intimidating, and I started reading, and the guy said, no, start that sentence again. You're slurring it a little bit. Speak clearly and don't talk so fast. Now that's boring. Read it again with some expression. And so I was really impressed. It's the best reading I've ever done on just how God saved me as a farm boy farming pigs and how I got involved in helping thousands of children as part of the compassion projects of our church. Amen. You know, Pastor Mel talks in his book about how many people say Jesus was just a good person, even today. The same questions in the Bible, same as today. Some people say Jesus was a good person. You know, there's more proof that Jesus lived than Caesar. Jesus was a real person. He actually lived on this planet, but he was more than just a good person. The scripture we read says some think you're a prophet, and some think, you know, prophet, but there's other prophets in, you know, different world religions that say, well, our prophet is better than Jesus, and, you know, our prophet saw an angel of light and wrote the Book of Mormon and whatever. Jesus is not just a good person. The Pharisees thought he was just a good person or just a good teacher or just a prophet. You know, I was talking to a pastor in Rwanda a couple years ago, and this pastor had been baptized, gave his life to Jesus, was a pastor of a church, but then there was this American that came over to Rwanda, and someone put on you know, you got to be careful what you do now. People can pull out their phone really quick. Someone put on Facebook a picture of this pastor getting water baptized. So I knew this pastor, and I phoned him up, and I said, you know, didn't you get baptized years ago? Aren't you a pastor of a church? Don't you also have a little Bible college in your church? Can I just say, why were you getting baptized again? And this man, he named this man, came over from America and said, because I wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus, I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It wasn't a legitimate baptism. You got to get baptized again in the name of Jesus. So when we baptize, we say we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, just so there's not so division over kooky things in the church. Then I put this guy's name into YouTube, and up popped this video. Do you know what this man was saying that went to Rwanda, baptized this guy? He was saying, he held up a book. It was called God Born in a Manger. And he started mocking this book. What a joke, he said on YouTube. He said, God, the God of the universe, becoming a baby. Ha, 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 ha. Born in a manger. Ha, 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 ha. So I phoned back this pastor, and I said, can you click on this link? Do you know what this guy's teaching? The guy's teaching that Jesus was just a normal man, maybe a good prophet, maybe he did die on the cross, but he's not God. We believe that God came Emmanuel in the form of man, and Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. That's part of the Trinity in our belief system. We have to know what we believe. So I said, Pastor, you got conned. You got influence. You're a pastor. You teach Bible college. You're influenced by a man that doesn't even believe Jesus was God and the Son of God. He was a good man. I said, why did you do that? You know why he did that? He was hoping to get some money from the white man. Don't throw away what you believe just to try to get some money. Try to speak into that person. We have a firm belief Jesus is the Son of God. Can I hear an amen? God taking the form of man, and God was born in a manger. The Bible says in John chapter 1, God took the form of man. Jesus is the God-man. Amen. That took our place. Number two, we believe the Bible. You know, some Christians, even today, and some people that believe in the Bible, say the Bible just contains the Word of God. But we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. There are Christians and Bible believers across Canada today that say, you know, Jonah was just a nice story to teach us an illustration. And the Moses parted the Red Sea, that didn't really happen. It's just a good story. So the Bible just contains parts of, no. But I believe, and we believe today, everything in the Bible is inspired. There are two good 3:16 verses. John 3:16, for God so loved. There's another 3:16. It's 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired or God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and instruction and correction in righteousness. You know, I believe in Jonah. Can you say amen? People say it was a big fish. You know, I went down to New York and went to the big museum. What's that one called? And they have a life-size whale. Has anybody been there? There's this life-size whale right there that's like three times bigger than this building. Or this room right here. This gigantic whale. And you can go up to the, you know, there's a round balcony that goes right around the whale. And then I got my wife to stand up top, and I went down to where the, you know, this animal's kind of hanging in the air. And I went down, and I got a picture of little tiny Brian beside this whale that's life-size whale. I believe Jonah's in the whale. You know, that whale could have swallowed 200 of Brian Thompson's. I believe in Jonah and the whale. You betcha he could have lived in that animal for a few days. I believe 100% that the Bible, every scripture is inspired by God. Can you say amen? Some people say, well, I only read the words of Jesus. Jesus is the most important. I just read the red and I pray for the power. Have you heard that? Read the red and pray for the power. I don't read about Moses and the law and all. But we believe the entire Bible from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, are all the words of God. And all of them, of course, the words of Jesus are important, but all the words from God are inspired. And we base our life on what the entire Bible says. People say, well, there's this one little verse, and they start trying. You know, we don't build a doctrine on one verse. What does the entire Bible say? Did you ever know James Thomas in Calgary? He was my Bible college teacher 40-some years ago. He was a great big man. He was, you know, big and round. And there was four of us in our second year class. Maybe I'll come over here. And I'm there as a new convert. I hadn't been saved a year yet. And I'm sitting there behind my table with four of us. And this big guy would come up and he said, don't you believe and base your beliefs on one Bible verse, but on the sum total. And he'd bang on the table. Mr. Thompson, you're going to be a preacher. Don't you just ever preach on one scripture, but you study in what the entire Bible says on that one scripture. Do you understand, Mr. Thompson? I go, yes. Scared me to death. He's in heaven today. God bless him. If I ever preach just one scripture, I got this big man's voice right in my ear. Don't base your... You know, the Bible says the women should be silent in the church. That's one verse, and you don't understand the context of it. Study the Bible. Great women of the Bible. You know, the first evangelist in the Bible was a woman. Mary was at the tomb, and she went and told the other 12 disciples, the men of the church. The woman got the revelation. Hey, Peter, James, John, guess what? I saw Jesus first. And Jesus said, go to Galilee, because I'm going to go meet you there. Deborah in the Old Testament, great, great woman of God. Amen. We believe a woman can do anything a man can do if she's called by God. Come on, women. Yeah. Men, you better buy your wife something good for Valentine's. Not just a little cheap Costco flowers either. You know, I treat my wife to a massage because we get one free with our group plan with the church. Someone gave me a gift card at Christmas time. I'm taking her to that restaurant. Isn't it good to be fun at church? We base our life that Jesus is God and the Son of God. We base our life that the entire Bible from cover to cover is the word from God. Believe every word of it and don't add anything to it. It's our bedrock. We believe in the gospel. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God to save someone out of hell into heaven for eternity. Be proud of the gospel. The gospel still changes lives today. Amen. I gave a little formula last night at our meeting. S, start a conversation. A, ask questions to the person that you're trying to. L, listen. It spells salt. S-A-L-T. Start a conversation with someone. Ask questions. Listen to them. And then try to share your testimony. Try to invite them to church. Try to invite them to a small group. Try to tell your testimony. Try to share the gospel. And it's wonderful to share the gospel. Someone coming to church. And, you know, we had a rental property. And we had these renters come in. And I just, you know, always try to evangelize our renters. I've got a number of our renters to church. It's fun. And this one couple, you know, they go, Brian, thanks for the invite. You're a really nice man, but, you know, I'm agnostic, and I don't think I'll ever come to your church. So just kind of back off, you know. It's kind of. So I never saw him for a couple years. He went and moved to another place, which is fine, after a couple years. Then out of the blue, a couple months ago, he calls me. Hey, Brian, you remember me? I go, yeah, of course I remember you. And he goes, can I take you up on that offer you gave me like 2 years ago to come to your church? And I go, absolutely. I said, I'll be in church this Sunday. And I'm traveling around different. I'll be in church on Sunday. And he goes, I said, I'll meet you at the door. This is good. You know, there's a lot of people scared to come to church. They'll drive into the parking lot. Some people would even sit in parking lots going, should I go? That's why we even have people out in the parking lot helping people park. Not because they need to know how to park, because we know how to park. But welcome to our property. Hallelujah. And just, you know, helping people, even, we get people dropping off, or they got a wait lady or a baby or something. You know, it's tough walking in high heels through that snow sometime. And, you know, I hold my wife, or she holds me up sometimes. And he came to the parking lot. And he came in, I can meet him at the door, and he said, Brian, as soon as our family drove into the parking lot, our baby threw up on everything. Just projectile. I'm sorry, I can't come to church today. Isn't it like the devil? He said, I promised to come again. We talked, and 2 weeks later, he could come with his work schedule, and I was back in church. So then I met him at the door. Like a good restroom. You have some good restrooms in town. The ladies or the guys open the door and say, hello. They don't even let you open the door. They open the door for you. Welcome to Joey's Restaurant, Calgary, Alberta. There's Joey's. Come, I put him in. I got him a free coffee right at the front of the door. Came in, sat beside me. Jakin was preaching and shared the gospel. And at the end, both of them, without even looking, both their eyes were closed because I was peeking. I was praying. Bible says, watch and pray. Peek. Both their hands went up instantly to accept Jesus. And, you know, I said, why did you come to church? Because you were agnostic. Why did you call me? He said, Brian, you were one of the nicest people we ever met, and we need better friends in our life. Our friends were just turning out to be bad friends and friends, people we didn't want to hang around with that kind of lifestyle. We wanted to hang around with people like you. Isn't that great? Start a conversation, ask questions, be nice, have good breath, smile, listen to people, and try. And I shared the gospel as much as I could. You know, Facebook is wonderful now because you can type and share the gospel. You know, I use Facebook to preach the gospel. It's not because I'm bored. But I saw one of our relatives, my cousin, popped up saying, would you like to be friend with your cousin? So I said, why not? And he got back to me and said, Brian, I got your invitation to be your friend. I will on one condition. If you start talking to me about your religion, I'll X you off my friendship immediately. I go, ooh. Of course I talk about Jesus all the time. So I didn't answer him for a couple of days. I'm praying about it. And I finally replied saying, I never want to offend anybody. Jesus is the greatest person in my life. I'll try my best not to offend you. But if you need to X me as your friend, I understand. Smile. Try to share Jesus. People, you know, I teach in Bible college that if some people that are hard against God are like a zero to the temperature before they get saved, and when they get up to the temperature of 10, they get saved. There's a lot of people that are at 1 or 2. Paul the Apostle, before he was a Christian, he was like a minus 10. or minus 41 below. He was a killer of Christians, but through God's encounters, and you know, Stephen witnessed to him, and Paul was there taking the coats as they stoned Stephen. I was in Jerusalem, and I saw where it was called the Stephen Gate today, because that was Stephen, born again Christian, sharing his faith, was killed, the first martyr of the church. You know, some people will not like us when we bring up Jesus. How many know what I'm talking about? Wave at me. How many have suffered? All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But, you know, we don't want to offend people because we're stupid, or we're weird, or we're pushy, or we're condemning. You know, a lot of people don't want to come to church because they think it's religious. They think it's boring. They think there's judgment there. Somebody's going to judge them. That, you know, you come into your, what you doing in, this is somebody, what are you coming to church with your hat on? How dare you come to church with your hat? Take your hat off. We love people at our church. Amen. Everybody can come just as you are. Come with a nice suit. Does this suit jacket look good? I lost a little bit of weight. I can actually do up the button now. Praise the Lord. I knew I was going to preach at these skinny people here. I didn't want to come as this blubbering whale. Anybody's welcome to come through the doors of our church, and we will love them like Jesus loved them. He hung around with the prostitutes and the sinners and the used car salesmen. You know, he loved them all. We love people. Someone say this. We love people. Jesus loved people. You know, people come to the door of the church just expecting someone to judge them because they smoke or they've done this wrong or they've done that wrong. And we have a saying, we encourage people to belong before they believe. I gave a testimony last night. If someone has been coming off and on to our church for about a year, year and a half, maybe came to church about 5-6 times in a year and a half, and then he gave his life to Jesus just last week. Hallelujah. He was at zero for a while. He said to me, he goes, Brian, I was raised in Quebec. Parlez-vous français? In the Catholic Church, you know. But we kept zero to one to two to ten. His wife and I were praying together, my wife, and we had him. We went riding motorcycles together, took him out for lunch. It costs sometimes to win souls. Took him. I said, what's your favorite restaurant? Bought him a $30 meal. Praise God. 10 o'clock, number 10, he gave his life to Jesus. The gospel is the hope of the world. Amen. Then the Holy Spirit, we believe in the Holy Spirit. I was 16 years old when I invited Jesus into my life. But when the Holy Spirit came on me, Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts 2, and they began to prophesy. They began to speak in other tongues. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson, and that hasn't happened to me yet, ripped the jaws of the lion. I look strong, hallelujah, but watch when the Holy Spirit gets on me. We need the Holy Spirit. Someone say, I need the Holy Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit. And number 5, the second big quotient of Pastor Mel's book here, we believe in the local church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You know, there's a picture when Pastor Mel and I and 28 people went to Israel a couple years ago. This is at Caesarea Philippi, and there's a cave on the left side, often where water comes through. This is Caesarea Philippi, and this is where Jesus stood with his disciples. It was amazing to stand where Jesus, we stood at the Sermon of the Mount. We stood where Elijah called down fire from heaven. We were standing in all these places. It just was amazing. And this is Pastor Mel's favorite place in Israel. We stood where Jesus read, or we read today, Mark, Matthew 16, the gates of hell will not prevail. This cave on the left is known for centuries as the gates of hell. And all along the right side over here, where you see all the little tiny indents, that's where all the idols were. And this was a major idol-worshipping stronghold in the whole nation of Israel. And Jesus went to the biggest stronghold in the nation, and he said, these gods and these idols and this gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The church is going to rise up, and it's going to overcome. Amen? We're building the church of God. Jesus changes lives, but we need the church. Amen? The church is alive to help change people's lives. Can you jump to slide 29 if you mind? It says that in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, in the last days, listen to this. The last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all mountains in the world, the most important place on earth. Prophecy from Isaiah. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream to the local church to worship Jesus. Amen. People from many nations will say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God, and there he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths. We believe at Home Church, Pastor Mel wrote it in his book, that the church is the greatest thing that God's doing on the planet. We believe that God's plan A, God doesn't have plan B's. He's got plan A. His plan A, what's God doing with all the Trump problems and the Trudeau problems and this problem and persecution? What is God doing? God's plan A is the local church. That is his plan. Jesus came to die on the cross, and Jesus came to build his church. And the church is the hope of the world. And in the book, I encourage you to read the book or buy the audio book, 18 different stories of how Jesus and the local church rescued people's lives. Some of them are my friends. Our niece on Connie's side was going through a hard time. I think she was about 16 years old. Sundry, Alberta, and her boyfriend committed suicide. And she took that so hard that someone that close would commit suicide. And her boyfriend, who she was in love with, like, why would he commit suicide? We had such a great relationship. She became suicidal. She was in the hospital in the psych ward for a long period of time. And my wife and I were praying for her. We helped minister to her. You know, we've loved her ever since she was a little tiny girl at our Christmas parties. And we invited her to church, and she came to church. And she loved Pastor Mel. She'd drive in from Sundry to come to Pastor Mel. And she gave her life to Jesus. She moved in with us and went through 2 years of Bible college. And she's a strong Christian today. And she'll tell you, Jesus changed my life. But the local church stood with me and was with me at the most difficult time of my life. Amen. You know how you can be closer to people in the church than even your own family sometimes. The church is a body of believers that we all love Jesus. And, you know, Jesus can change people's lives. He's the only one that can. But he needs the church. And Jesus is the head, and we are the body of the church. The church is the most important thing God's doing in the world. It's the most important thing God's doing in Lethbridge, in Alberta, and in Canada. Come on, someone say amen. The church is the hope of the world. And I want to encourage you to, you know, read Pastor Mel's book and get more of this in your spirit and good Bible college level training, but then to find your place. Jesus, you're my Savior, but what do you want me to do on this planet? What is my part in serving the local church? What's my part in serving you today, Jesus? And you can become an active member of serving Jesus in this church as we try our best to help broken society. You know, people that are going through marriage problems, the church is the hope of the world. Amen. You know, even in Africa, what do we do to go to Africa? We don't give pairs of shoes to kids. We're not a humanitarian group. One of the best things we do is we preach Jesus. We talk about Jesus for 2 hours while they're stirring the rice and throwing in the vegetables and cooking the beans. We're preaching for 2 hours. You guys can come with me sometime. Come and stir the pot. Some lady says, I just want to come and stir those great big rice pots and feed 500 children. We have a little conveyor belt, you know, fireman's line, and we pass the plates. We feed all those kids, but we talk about Jesus for 2 years. Jesus is the hope of the world. Amen? Jesus preached, the Bible says, for 3 days. He taught them, then he healed them all, then he fed them. The feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. He taught them 3 days, he healed them, then he fed them. That is the solution. Amen? And all of our children that we help are all tied to one of our home churches. We have 40 churches in Congo. And we're starting 20. We have started 25 more. They just haven't cut the ribbon yet. We have 114 churches, mostly in 40 in Rwanda, 22 in 40 in Congo, 22 in Rwanda, 15 in Kenya. We've got all these churches in India ongoing. We got Myanmar. We're in Nepal. Jesus said, "Go into all the world." Amen. Spreading Jesus and building the local church. Amen. My last scripture here today. Going to slide 30, please. We're born again into God's great church and adopted into the family of God. And Jesus said this in John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Just think about that for a minute. Children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Can I just say something? This is kind of Bible school level, and I'm not trying to be weird. But when it talks about being born again by the Word of God. That word has two meanings, or two different Greek original language. One is the written, eternal, living God, or living Word of God. It's called Logos. And then there's the spoken Word, or the Holy Spirit empowered Word. Those that are born again by the Word, and one of the words for this means sperm. We're not born again by the will of man, but by literally the spiritual sperm of God gets into our life, and we become a born-again Christian with Jesus living inside of us. That's what it really means. Isn't that wonderful? God is our Father, not just because we were some orphan child and he felt sorry for us, and it's like a black child adopted into a white family. That's not it at all. When we ask Jesus to come into our life, we actually become the sons and daughters of God. We're not just an adopted vagabond somewhere. You become a child of God. Hallelujah. Jesus will save you. And the Bible says that he is like our older brother, as a model. Jesus was the second Adam, a whole new race of people. We are a new creation. If anyone becomes a Christian, you are a new creation. You're like an alien. You don't belong on this planet anymore, because there's something living inside you. It's Jesus. It's the sperm of God inside you, living in your spirit, and you're becoming more and more like Jesus. And we are Jesus on this planet. It's called little Christ, called Christians. If you've never received the born-again experience, it's more than just starting a church and going through some rules. You become joined together with Jesus through his blood, his DNA. You become an actual, literal child of God who created the universe. Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, what a joy it is to live for you, to be connected. Jesus, I am so thrilled I'm connected to what you're doing in the universe, what you're doing on this planet. The two greatest things I can ever do is tell people about Jesus and build your church, your plan A in this planet. What a joy, Lord. Just in this moment of prayer, if you've never officially given life to Jesus, I'm not going to embarrass anybody anyway. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm just going to ask you just to slip up your hand really quick. And I want to pray for you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never had that born-again experience where you know that your sins are forgiven. You know that your name's written in the book of life. If you need the born-again experience today, Jesus will forgive you of all your sins. He doesn't judge you. He loves you just the way you are. Give him your life today. If that's you today, can you just slip up your hand when I count three? Just slip it up and down real quick. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand. I need Jesus in my life. I need the born again experience. I want to know for sure that I'm saved. One, two, three. Just put your hand up. Can we all pray this prayer together? Say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the revelation. You are the Son of God. I live for you. Jesus, tell me what you want me to do. What do you want me to do in your church here in Lethbridge? What do you want me to do for the rest of my life? What am I called to do? I'm serving you in the name of Jesus. Amen.